Yesterday, the missions brunch was so awesome to me. As I began to see and began to watch some of what you saw today, but then additional comments from those who were present there, and then a very special address by the pastor of Bridges of Faith Church in Rockaway Beach, Missouri. Oh, my word. My heart was stirred. I sat there and said, God, I want $1 million to give to missions because they just touched my heart. And I got to thinking about the people that we had partnered with through our Global Missions Fund and how many of them had legitimate roots at Ridgecrest. Shane Kennard came here when he was in the sixth grade, grew up in our student ministry, now the pastor of Cross Point in Republic. I love Shane and his family. Jamie Rogers with us for many years before God called her to serve literally around the world. Winston Barnett with Life Builders. Winston Barnett who dreamed a dream and then went beyond that and put that dream into action in ministering to the multi-housing communities and especially those that are government subsidized. And he's a hero to me and the people who serve with him. And he and Sue were members at Ridgecrest for quite a number of years. Greg Gomer with Redeemer Church, his dad and stepmom, longtime members at Ridgecrest before they relocated to the Kansas City area. The Stearns family, members of Ridgecrest, God called them to Nicaragua to serve there. And then our own Randy Copeland. Randy was one of the 20 people here when I came. Randy, along with a very few that are left, Randy preceded me, and God saved his marriage and called him into ministry and went with one of our mission plants and now heads up School to the Nations that's reaching the unreached and unengaged people groups around the world. And we have a part in that, and my heart was stirred. But Jonathan McGuire from Rockaway Beach, when I was 15 years old, I worked in the summertime at Rockaway Beach on the Sammy Lane boat dock. And my cousin Clifford was Captain Clifford on the Lake Queen out of Rockaway Beach. By the way, that's when Rockaway Beach was still rocking. Huh? How many of you remember when Rockaway Beach was rocking? Some of you do. I mean, wall to wall, the water was still warm. That cold water came later after the building of Tabor Rock Dam. But it was an amazing thing. And our own Vince Blueball came into this church and married one of our beautiful young ladies, Candy Snodgrass, and has served the Lord through the North American Mission Board, through the Missouri Baptist Convention. But he was the church planter, I think, from First Baptist Branson for that church in Rockaway Beach. But I heard the story. Do you know there in Rockaway Beach, when this pastor was asked by Vince to take over, and Vince had been mentoring him, this pastor was 24 years old, and by his own knowledge, by his own word, said, I had no clue what to do. But God kind of laid a verse on him out of Matthew chapter 18, and that verse penetrated into his heart. Jesus said, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. And he took that and said, we're going to welcome children. We're going to do our best to break the cycle of generational sin. And he started with one van that was there, picked up a couple of kids. Last Wednesday night, 237 children at Bridges of Faith Fellowship on a Wednesday night. They went from one van to two vans to a 46, I think, passenger bus. And just recently, were able to purchase three 72-passenger school buses from the school district in Branson for $1,200 each. He said they're new to us. Listen. Here's what I want you to know. Listen to this. Any child of God can live with high impact in their world. Thank you for that amen. I think it's only fair to tell you, I forgot my hearing aids at home this morning. So your amens need to be a little stronger, you know what I mean? And if I get too loud, Duke will take care of me on the board. A high impact ministry. Now listen, it's probably been about 11 or 12 years ago as I was studying the marching orders for the church. Now, you can find them in Matthew, you can find them in Mark, you can find them in Luke, you can find them in John, you can find them in the first chapter of Acts. But I was focused on the one that we often refer to as the Great Commission. And as I was looking at that, perhaps because I spent a good number of my earlier years studying mathematics and then teaching high school mathematics, I began to think in terms of a formula. I began to think in terms of an equation. And I began to think if these things were in place, we're going to see our lives have high impact ministry in our world. So you have your Bible? Did you bring it this morning? You know, hold that Bible. If you fall on the ice, you'll have something to fall on. Fall on the Word of God. And I'm so sorry about the parking lot, but I really didn't ask for that. It just came. But I'm glad that you're here, and we pray there's at least one, and maybe, in fact, I know of two or three that slipped and fell, and so we pray for them and for you when you leave here. Be very, very careful and help one another. That's part of what it means. Matthew 28. I love this passage of Scripture, and it's not difficult for me to understand. That's, I think, one of the reasons I love it, because of the grand and glorious simplicity that is there. Now, Jesus, of course, is giving his final words, at least that are recorded by Matthew, to his disciples. And we're going to look at this together. And we're just going to look at verse 18 and following. So if you have your Bible, then be ready to read it with me. I wonder, for those of you physically able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning? Just hold your Bible up there and let's honor God. I know you do, whether you're standing or sitting. And please, if you cannot stand, do not feel badly about that. But here we go, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Listen now. Listen to me carefully. We can have a high impact ministry for Jesus Christ in our world. And if you want to personalize that down to yourself, you can say, I can have a high impact ministry for Jesus Christ in my world. And so then we simply want to look at what's the formula for that. What's the equation for that that we find so clearly in the text before us? You see, there are conditions on high impact ministry. I know you know this, but not every Christian has a high impact ministry in a positive way for the cause of Christ. Not every church has a high impact ministry in a positive way for Jesus Christ. So there is a yes if in this passage of Scripture. And we're going to simply look at what is God's high impact ministry formula. You ready? Look back at verse 18. And in my Bible it is printed in red and it says, all, everybody say all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So for the first factor in our formula, you, if you are a note taker and you want to pull out the thing in the bulletin, in the service folder, you may, where it says sermon notes. But here's the first factor in the formula for a high impact ministry. You ready? It's very simple.
one authority.
One authority. Listen, I told you this is simple. Jesus said all authority. My friend, if that is true, and I know that it is, it leaves no room for competing authorities. I think God has to deliver us from anything that takes our mind and our hearts away from Jesus Christ. Anything that causes us to divert our sense of authority from Him, is, even if it might seem good, is nonetheless dangerous for the child of God. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me, church. Jesus is Lord. You know, I'm not sure you can be a child of God without affirming that. That's the confession. That's the initial confession. That's the baptismal confession. And we'll baptize God willing next Sunday. Some of you need to step forward for that. Jesus is Lord. He is the authority. And listen to me. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that Jesus is right now putting all His enemies under His feet. And that work is going on. Now, they are not all there yet, but the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! And I'm so excited to tell you that day is certain. That day is coming. You know what Paul said? And oh, I like this. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. How many of you are glad that someday death will be no more? Oh, my friend, listen, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more separation, no more suffering, and no more death. Why? Because all authority belongs to Jesus Christ. I just read this last week where a man by the name, I think, of John Smith Jr., an African-American pastor, said, "Forever and eternity exist, so death can have a funeral." You got to think about that. So death can have a funeral. One of these days, death is going to die. And it'll never, ever have power anymore over any life. All authority is mine. The way we recognize churches and individuals that impact their culture, that have high impact ministry, is this. Listen to me, my friends. Listen to me. They have settled the issue of authority. Churches and individuals that make an impact. And listen to me. The authority in this church is not first and foremost in the senior pastor. The authority in this church is not first and foremost in the elders. The authority in this church is not first and foremost in the deacons. The authority in this church is not first and foremost those who are active in service. The authority in this church is not first and foremost the members. Listen, the authority in this church is, has been, always will be, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen. Here's what I think. If we don't settle that issue, one authority, we will limit our impact for Christ, never to have a high impact ministry. So that's the first factor. Second factor, listen to this. Back to the text. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That can be read, all the people groups. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now listen, the only imperative in that is found in these words. Make disciples. So if you're making your little equation, if you're putting the formula together, the first factor is one authority. The second factor is one assignment. One assignment. You see, I think part of the reason that we lack impact is we think we've been given 10 assignments. We think we've been given 20 assignments. We have not. The Church of Jesus Christ has been given one assignment, and it is to make disciples. That is to become people who help people follow Jesus Christ. That word disciple means you're a learner. That word disciple means you're a follower. That word disciple means you're a student. We say it like this: at Ridgecrest, we are striving for Christ-centered lives 7 days a week. And the energy and the impact of any life comes from the singularity of the focus on the one assignment. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'll be watching some of the Olympics, partly because they are so clear about what they are to do. They are to ski faster, or they are to skate faster, or they are to do any number of other events better. They are to bring home the medal, preferably the gold, but if not, then the silver or the bronze. And they have that clarity. Listen, church, let us never get so caught up in our programming that we remember that our programming only has one purpose: make disciples. And if we succeed at that, then it's a grand and glorious success and we have high impact ministry. If we fail at that, then we fail in the very reason why we are on earth. So you with me so far? We're building an equation. We're building a formula. It starts with one authority. Have you settled in your own heart the issue of who's in charge? Secondly, one assignment. Now back to the text. I want to show you something else. I'll come back to the middle of this, but I want to go at the end. Here it is. Verse 20, Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." I am with you always. Now listen, that in the context is not just for any lazy boy recliner saint. It's not for the guy or the gal that says, "I am not doing anything. I got my ticket. I'm waiting to go to heaven." Number one, if that's your attitude, you may be lost. You need to do business with God. But that's not where this promise is given. Listen to me. This promise is given to people operating under one authority. This promise is given to people embracing one assignment. Those people who are saying in their heart, "I will go. I will pray. I will give. I will do everything in my power to advance the kingdom of God." And Jesus says to you, and Jesus says to me, and Jesus says to the church, "You put your money where my mouth is." That's what Jesus would say. Because I'll tell you, His words are, "As you are going, make disciples." You put your time and your energy and efforts into gossiping the gospel of Jesus Christ. You do this, and here's my promise: you'll never walk alone. You'll never go by yourself, and it doesn't matter where you go, you'll find Him there. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Deuteronomy 31:6, we hear these words: "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." I thank God for that. So when we go on mission for Christ to our next door neighbor, guess who goes with us? Jesus. When we go on mission to North Springfield or Kansas City or Chicago or Italy or Nicaragua or Botswana or Mali or Cuba or Thailand or Southeast Asia or Montreal or any other place on the planet, when we go for Christ, Christ goes with us. You can count on it. One assurance. Did you catch that? We've got one authority. Indispensable. You can't leave that out. We've got one assignment, focusing our lives. But we have one assurance, and that's the third factor. Are you following in your notes? One authority, one assignment, one assurance. And oh, the joy of that assurance. You see, we can have a high impact ministry for Christ in the world, but it includes this one assurance. Lo, I am with you always. So here's what we've got. We got one authority plus one assignment plus one assurance plus, you ready for this? Three activities. Three activities. You're ready? It's in the text, isn't it? You see, when we read this text and it says go, we tend to think of that as an imperative. Go! It's not what it is. It literally is a participle. It really means this is how you make disciples. You make disciples with these three activities. Here they are. You make disciples by going. So literally it means as you go. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to your home, as you go to the restaurant, as you go, as you go, as you go. It is describing how we make disciples. So there's first the going, and we go to bring people to God. That's why we go. Then the second participle is baptizing. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, we baptize because Jesus taught believers baptism. So we baptize believers who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We baptize to bring people together. It is through that baptism that we symbolize our lives have been placed in Christ, into the body of Christ. And the church is the visible expression of the body of Christ in the world. So we baptize people to bring them together, and then says, teaching them to what? To observe. Oh, how many times have we failed here? We Baptists are so good at teaching them, but not teaching them to observe. I think Dallas Willard calls that the great omission in the Great Commission. We want to read it, teaching them all things. Just keep on teaching, keep on teaching. But someone has rightly said, most Baptists are already taught beyond their obedience. We don't need another teaching, we need obedience. We need to put into action. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we go to bring people to God. We baptize to bring people together. And we teach to bring people to grow. That's why for me, the glue of any church is the small Sunday school classes, the small groups, the faith families, whatever you call them. Because there, people sharpen one another, encourage one another, and sometimes challenge one another. Now, a high-impact ministry must have these activities. You can't leave out going. You can't leave out baptizing, and you can't leave out teaching. But they all fall under one authority and one activity, or one assignment and one assurance. So here we are. I'm ready. I'm ready to pull this together. One authority plus one assignment plus one assurance plus three activities equals high impact ministry for Jesus Christ. By the way, the acronym for high impact ministry is what? Him. It's all about Him, my brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, I've done my best to preach the commission of Christ, not to add to it, not to take away from it, but simply to emphasize that our Lord said this, and now we wrestle with the call on our life. Oh, Father, what would you have me give on a weekly basis? What would you have me give twice a month if that's the way the paycheck comes? What would you have me give on a monthly basis? What would you have to give me to give one time? What would you have me to give out of my income? What would you have me to give out of my wealth? Out of my wealth. And Father, I would pray you might raise up a $1 million donor to the mission of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking now that in this time of invitation, that the aisles will fill with people who have made a commitment, laying that commitment at the altar. For those that do not do so, that they'll drop them in that response box, knowing this, that as we engage people with the gospel of Christ, we never walk alone. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.